Dear congregation, when this world is done, and when the veil that now hides from us everything that is going on in and around us, when that is lifted, and we will be able to see life as we should see it, whether it be from the perspective of hell, may God prevent it, or from the perspective of eternal life with Christ, which is so much better. We will see that every moment of every day that we were here on the earth, there was before us a crossroads over which is written the words of Scripture, I have set before thee life and death. Therefore, choose life. And all our life long, over and over and over again, until the Lord makes a difference, we constantly choose death and ruin. But that is not to say that the Lord has not been each and every moment there with his call. It is my prayer that with the Lord's help this evening, wherever God's word finds us tonight, that we would see this very thing, and that the Lord by his Spirit would enable us, if never before, to choose life by his almighty grace. And this is what we want to see with the Lord's help from the text, which is in the passage that was read in your hearing, 2 Chronicles 25, and allow me to read at this time, verse 8 and 9. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said unto the man of God, but what shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Thus far our text. Our theme with the Lord's help this evening is the Lord is able to give more. The Lord is able to give more. We'll see, first of all, how the prophet exposes the heart of Amaziah. We'll see, secondly, the carnal reasoning of Amaziah. And thirdly, the gospel preaching to Amaziah. The Lord is able to give more. The prophet exposes the heart of Amaziah, the carnal reasoning of Amaziah, and the gospel preaching to Amaziah. Well, congregation, in our study of the kings of Judah, we have come to King Amaziah. We are not dealing with these kings in sequence exactly for time's sake, just some highlights here and there. We began our series by looking at the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? For he is really the king over all, and above all, and out of his kingship flows every other kingship. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, we asked. Well, the kings of Judah, all in a succession, made clear to us that they of themselves, and most of them don't, ascend the hill of the Lord. We looked firstly at Rehoboam, and we saw with him slow decline and ruin. Then secondly, we saw Josiah and how the Lord worked in him a new and a soft heart. And we saw, give me a soft heart. And now we come to Amaziah. Amaziah was the son of Jehoash, or Joash, as he's sometimes called. And he was the 8th king. And if you count Athaliah, he was the 9th ruler over Judah after David and Solomon. He reigned from 796 to 767, so about 29 years. And he was eventually killed in Lachish by men whom his officials who conspired against him had sent to kill him, and he was succeeded by King Uzziah. And his outward life, especially early on in his reign, was generally favorably, again, especially initially. But inwardly, there was a different story, as there often can be. Verse 2 summarizes it for us, where we read, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." He was not inwardly devoted to the Lord. Externally, yes, there was a certain measure of respect for God and for God's ordinances and for God's prophets. But in the end, he shows that he has a heart that is not perfect with God. It is not fearing God. As one commentator says, Amaziah was one of your half-and-half people. He was, like Hosea pictures Israel, a cake not turned. Burnt black on one side and raw dough on the other. He had respect to the Lord outwardly, but inwardly he served himself and other gods. And let that be a warning to us. God knows our hearts. Are you here, and can it be said of you that you serve the Lord, but not with a perfect heart, not inwardly, not from the heart? From the heart you serve yourself, like Amaziah does. Well, Amaziah shows a restless heart, really, that is needing and desiring more. And he decides to go against Edom to war. Edom, a neighboring country. And this appears unprovoked. There is no attack from Edom, so this is simply Amaziah who desires to want more and to need more. And so he musters the young men from his own territory, from Judah and Benjamin, and comes up with 300,000 young men. In addition to that, he must not have thought that to be enough. He has 100,000 mercenaries from the northern kingdom, from Israel, and he pays 100 talents for this, 100 talents of silver, a very large amount of money. And yet the Lord does not leave Amaziah to his own devices, certainly not without warning. The Lord sends a man of God, a prophet, to call him from his wicked way. And so he comes, according to our chapter in verse 8 and 9, and this prophet tells Amaziah that he is wrong in having Israel, the northern kingdom, go with him. O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. In other words, Amaziah, you are aligning yourself with rebels. Israel has rebelled against me by worshiping golden calves. They have departed from the service of the Lord. And if you align with them, you will not have me or my blessing or my favor. Congregation, what an important lesson this is also today. There's something inside of each of us that likes and curries the favor of men. And that's why the Lord has to say in no uncertain terms, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Remember this, all of us. Also you young people. When it concerns your alliances, your friendships, and especially in marriage, or really in any relationship, don't imagine that you can date for evangelism purposes, and that it will all work out in the end. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You will not prosper. And let that be clear. And so in all of this, the Lord is putting his finger on Amaziah's heart and on his sin, on the idolatry of his heart, which wants more and more, no matter how he goes about to get it. And congregation, that is the Lord. That when he yet speaks to our conscience, whether it be through our conscience or through the preaching of the word or through his word or in providence, when the Lord puts his finger on our sin, we do well to heed the voice of God before it falls silent. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Really, what a mercy it is that the Lord still comes to Amaziah. You see, God's design with Amaziah here is not in wrath, but rather in mercy. He has designs of mercy whenever he comes to you. He points out sin in your life. When the prophet Nathan came to David, speaking that parable as he did, and then pointing his outstretched finger at David and said, "Thou art the man," there was divine mercy behind that, laying bare David's sin. And so too here, the Lord does not let Amaziah go off without a warning. His warnings here are laced with mercy. You see, congregation, God's chastisements, even apart from grace, of course, in the life of his people, this is true, but even outside of grace, when the Lord chastises us, he is striving with us. As we just sang, his chastisements, if only we could see that, they could very well be a healing ointment. They would be improved in our life by faith and repentance. Some people of God here, no doubt, can attest to the fact that the Lord held you back or met you on a path in which you really had gone towards your own ruin, and he stopped you and he turned you and he spoke to you. Maybe it was very similar to Amaziah here. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not tie the knot with someone who does not have the fear of God and the Bible as his or her guide. You will not prosper. What concord can there be? Now we'll see in a little bit that Amaziah did break off this relationship with Israel, but we will also see that though he does this outwardly, he doesn't break off the sin that gives rise to that alliance with Israel. In fact, it goes from worse to worse, which tells us something, doesn't it? That you can make corrections along life's path. You can be impressed by a certain warning or by a certain seriousness that a minister or a parent or an elder meets you with. And yet, if the root of the sin isn't dealt with, then perhaps it's just like you, children, when you pick a weed from the garden and you pick off the top and you cover it over with dirt. Well, a week or two later, a month or two later, it comes back up again, sometimes and often stronger than before. Oh, dear friends, do we cherish the Lord's warnings? Don't you feel that you need them? You grateful for those men of God, whoever they are, women of God even, who come and meet you along life's path and say, what you are doing, you're not doing well. You're not right in doing this. I ask you tonight, what is the idol in your life? Don't say you don't have one. Even God's people know that there are lots of idols in their heart that need to come down constantly, constantly, constantly. The human mind is a factory of idols, Calvin says. And when one is gone, another comes up and needs to come crashing down. Young people, how do you stand vis-a-vis the world? Maybe you say, I don't have any alliances with the world. Really? How about your friends? Do you have any friends, even from within the church, that are worldly? And you yourself are worldly. And you love the world. When you're together, you talk about the world. The latest and greatest in the world. How about worldly music? Worldly entertainment? The esteem of your worldly friends. If you could see your life by the light of eternity, which one day you will, how many alliances are there not, congregation? Unholy, ungodly alliances that the Lord is displeased with. May the Lord uncover that before us, before our eyes, before our spirits tonight. An idol is whatever you can't imagine life without. It's the thing that you go to when you have nothing else to go to. When you wake up in the night and you can't sleep, your mind goes there. When you're at work, you find yourself thinking about it. When there's some eerie silence all around you and you have to, and it makes you uncomfortable, what do you go to cloud and to cover up that silence? Get rid of that silence. Worldly pleasure, worldly friends, worldly entertainment. What is it that when you throw it out, you're like that dog that returns to his vomit? You can't really get rid of it. You go back to it. There's like this unbreakable bond, this shackle that keeps you going back to it. If not in action, then in thought and your heart. Remember Gehazi? When he saw those beautiful garments and that money held up before Elisha. And Elisha refused it and rejected it. And Gehazi's heart went after Naaman and his chariot because he was bound to it. Idols always begin in our heart. Well, congregation, the Lord is exposing Amaziah, and I pray he's exposing us too. And it doesn't just stay with our idols and with our alliances. But as we see now in our second point, the Lord exposes the carnal reasoning of Amaziah. Because we read in verse 9, so tellingly, Amaziah doesn't even know really so much of what he is saying reveals his heart, but he just says it. He says to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents that I've given to the army of Israel? In other words, when he considers the idea of breaking this alliance and sending these 100,000 people back home, he's thinking about the dollars and the cents. It's as if he sees them flash before his eyes. What am I going to do with all that money that I've invested in this project? I can't let that go to waste, can I? And do you see how there's this pull in the soul of Amaziah? The first thing he thinks about is not to please the Lord and to do what is right. But he thinks about what this is going to disadvantage him. How this is going to disadvantage him. Is this really expedient? Am I not going to lose out if I do what you, O man of God, are telling me to do? Congregation, when the Lord works savingly in the heart of a person, the Lord points out an idol, a false alliance, or any iniquity, we do well to bow before the Lord, confess our sin, and count the cost, whatever it is, and not object, And not say, but what about this loss over here? And what about this cost over there? And what about how this looks to outside people? And what about my investment over here? And what about the years of work I've put into this? And the balance sheet of my company, what's that going to look like? You see how this itself reveals further Amaziah's heart. You see, Amaziah, you should have thought of this before you made this agreement. Before you got those 100,000 people, and before you spent those 100 talents of silver, you should have weighed this all in the sight of God. You should have said, is this a God-honoring expenditure to go with these rebels against Jehovah and to align with them and to take 100 talents of the money that God has given me and to just give this to rebels and to lean on the arm of flesh? Amaziah, this is you're too late in weighing these things. Yes, God is giving you an opportunity here for a course correction. But when you say this to the Lord, what shall we do? Notice how he says that too. What shall we do? In other words, you and me, what shall we do? Is there a way to please the Lord and yet to manage this difficult situation, this expenditure that I already made? You see, the Lord was beckoning and calling for Amaziah to repent of his sin. And Amaziah still has the mindset of negotiating. You see, that's what sinners do. They're constantly negotiating. How can I have God on the one hand, but also the world? How can I respect God and please God and yet curry worldly favor? How can I not appear to be irreligious and lost and wayward altogether, and yet how can I maintain myself? A man has to get something out of life. Amaziah is doing what Elijah challenged the people of Israel. Why halt ye on two opinions? You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. But so many are asking an Amaziah-like question when faced with God's standards and God's requirements. They look at what the Lord calls us to. They say, you know, if I go that path, I'll look so strange to people around me. I'll look like such a religious, crazy one. I can't do that. I can't afford to have such a high standard of morality, or my business will not work. Competition, they'll win out for sure. I'll lose position. I'll lose connections. I'll lose my friends. People will laugh at me. And what do I do with all that money and time I've already spent in that endeavor? Do I simply throw that away? Is that really what the Lord wants me to do? And so countless people, they continue halting on two opinions. They try to manage God on one hand and also their own heart and their idols on the other hand. They try to find a middle way, instead of being ruthless with sin, with evil, and even reckless in obedience to God. They try to negotiate all their circumstances, and yet with one part of them to try to please God, and on the other hand also to please themselves and people around them. Congregation, do you see how Amaziah really is you and me by nature? And people of God, don't you agree that we still find so much Amaziah-like thinking in our heart? The Lord won't mind if I I just do this, I'll tithe on that money. I'll live for God in other areas of my life. It's that negotiating spirit with God. Do you ever catch yourself thinking like that? Reasoning like that? Oh, let God be true and every man a liar. As we'll go on to see, Amaziah, though he sends Israel back home and though he loses his 100 talents, nevertheless, he never roots out this sin in his life. Because when he gains the victory over Edom, and he does, in accordance with the Lord's own promise, in the end, he can't resist the gods of Edom. He takes the gods of Edom back with him. And the man of God comes back to him and says, why have you done this? You've taken the gods who couldn't deliver their people from your hand. They're so powerless. And you've taken them and you're offering sacrifices to these idols. They have eyes, but they see not. Ears have they, but they hear not. They have noses, but they smell not. All those who serve them become like them. Amaziah. Amaziah. You are chained to your idols. You have a rebellious will. And nothing will hinder you down this path. You see, congregation, Amaziah, in an outward way, in that particular instance, he seems to follow God, but inwardly he cherishes unbelief. He nurtures his own self-will, and it will always find you out. The Lord is not pleased with outward obedience. He wants your heart. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Dear friends, this is urgent and earnest. This word is not for your neighbor sitting next to you. It's for you. Examine yourself by the word of God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. You see, congregation, there were those in Scripture. Few in number in terms of the overall perspective, but there were those in Scripture who, when faced with this crossroads, with death and with life, they chose life by the grace of God. Moses, young people, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, esteeming the riches of Egypt of less worth than even the sufferings with the people of God. In other words, he preferred suffering the reproach of Christ with the people of God, with slaves in Egypt. He looked at them and he said, those are my people. And perhaps the devil came to him and said, but Moses, what about all the wealth? What about all the esteem? What about all the riches? What about the pharaohship? What about the throne of Egypt? You might attain to it. And Moses says, it's like dung to me. No doubt Satan came back. At least this is how I envision it. But Moses, can't you have it both ways? Can't you help the people of God just a little bit and yet have one foot in Egypt as well? Isn't there a way to compromise? Moses. No. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He did the opposite of Amaziah. He didn't halt on two opinions. He walked a straight path by the grace of God. Or how about young people, the three friends of Daniel? Young men. There they are. All the music of Babylon says, bow. Nebuchadnezzar says, bow. These three friends, they stand upright. Couldn't they have argued like Amaziah? Said, well, maybe there's a way for me to kneel and yet pray in my heart, or something like that, to God, the one God of Israel. Maybe I can half bow. That fiery furnace is awful. It's been heated 7 times hotter. No. When they're given a chance, they say to Nebuchadnezzar, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. We have resolved already that we will not bow to your image. We will not live Babylonian life. We will serve God, whether he deliver us or not." You see, they chose life by the grace of God. And of course, all of this is because of the one who, when Satan came literally to him in the desert, the wilderness, and said to him, "You can have all the kingdoms of the earth if you but bow before me." In other words, you can have everything provided you have me as just a little idol in your life. Just a little one. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone thou shalt serve." Congregation, do you hear the voice of the Lord tonight in his word? It is so personal. The Lord is searching. The Lord is speaking. None here can excuse yourself. Young people, the Lord is speaking to you. You and I are Amaziahs. We are bent on negotiating. But the Lord sees, the Lord knows, the Lord calls. Oh, heed his voice today. Amaziah should have said, "These 100 talents, what a waste. But better now than never. Money be gone. Idols be gone. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And congregation, the amazing thing is, the prophet, when he responds to Amaziah, what a precious, what a gracious word we hear from his lips. The Lord is still striving with Amaziah. We read in verse 9, "And the man of God answered, 'The Lord, Jehovah, is able to give thee, you Amaziah, much more than this.'" Congregation, I've called this the gospel preaching to Amaziah. Because really, when you take this phrase that the prophet speaks to Amaziah, it's not the law. You know, the prophet could have said to Amaziah, "Never mind those 100 talents. Do what is right. Leave the rest to God. It is your duty to obey God, no matter what the cost is, no matter the consequences. The Lord has spoken in his word, and he said, serve me or die." The Lord, the man of God, does not simply bring the law here to Amaziah. He brings him, in essence, the gospel, as we hope to see in our third and final point. But let us first sing. And let us sing Psalter number 27. O God, preserve me, for in thee. 27, all the stanzas. Dear congregation, the Lord was so merciful to Amaziah in coming yet again with such a wonderful message. This man of God, grace was poured into his lips. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. There's really a four-point sermon in these man's words. The first point is the Lord. Notice how he addresses the Lord. The covenant-keeping Jehovah, the God who came long ago, Amaziah, to this nation and also to you, the Lord who is the same. The Lord changes not, and therefore, you son of Jacob, you are not consumed. As of this point in your life, the Lord has his arms outstretched still to a man like you, Amaziah. Amaziah, one thing you've forgotten, and that is the Lord. The Lord. As we just sang, the fullness of my cup of bliss is the Lord. If I have the Lord, what need do I have of anyone or anything else? You see, congregation, Amaziah's biggest problem was he didn't have the Lord. Because when we have the Lord, we have everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord with me, I shall not fear. The Lord is my helper. What shall man do unto me? The Lord. And then his second point is the Lord's ability, which is a gracious ability. The Lord is able to give thee. In other words, Amaziah, if only you knew what was in the heart of this Jehovah, there's so much ability. He has all power in heaven and on earth. He has power, the prophet says, to destroy. Oh, don't forget that. He has power to break down. He has power to destroy both soul and body and hell. Don't think for a moment that God does not have power to meet you like a lion, to meet you like a bear along life's path, to demand from you to render unto the Lord that which is his just desert. The Lord has power to lay low. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord has power to bring you low. Don't you understand? You live, you act, my unconverted friend, as if your sin won't find you out. That somehow your idol will help you in the day of days. Or that it all doesn't matter. You won't reap what you sow. But somehow it will all work out in the end. Well, the Lord is able, my friend. If you remain as you are, He will destroy both body and soul and hell forever. But my friends, there's another ability I want you to see here in our text. And this is highlighted here. He is able to give. His ability is a gracious ability, Amaziah. He is able to give you what you need. He's able to give you what you lack. He's found a way in himself, in his wisdom. He's found a way to give a sinner like you, Amaziah, what you lack and what you so need. You know, there are people who say that the gospel shouldn't be preached too personally to people. You should just speak it generically, just collectively. This man of God in my text, he didn't preach like that. He said, Amaziah, you unregenerate, unconverted sinner, the Lord is able to give you, thee, personally, much more than this. My unconverted friend, don't hide. Don't hide behind excuses that it might not be for you. That somehow, if you go God's way, it will not work out. It may very well turn out not to be for you. God's word does not leave the sinner with any excuse, no matter how religious, no matter how upstanding a person thinks he or she is. The Lord is able to give you personally, even in your unregenerate state. And don't think either, well, somehow this prophet of the Lord, maybe he knew that it all would turn out well with Amaziah. It didn't. Amaziah died an unregenerate, unconverted sinner. And yet God came to him through this man of God with outstretched arms, saying to him personally, Amaziah, the Lord is able to give you, in your lost condition, with all your sin, with all your bentness to sin, with all your rebellion, He's able to give you so much more than these. You see, point one, the Lord. Point two, the Lord's gracious ability. Thirdly, the Lord's expanse of gifts. Notice how the man puts it, the Lord is able to give thee more than this. No. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In other words, Amaziah, you're worried about 100 talents, and that's a lot. That's probably like millions for us today, or maybe more. You're worried about millions. Oh, but Amaziah, if once you could look into the storehouses of Jehovah, you would see that they are full and to overflowing with the riches in Christ Jesus. Much more. Amaziah, you haven't begun to see something of the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of all that lies in God. You're blind to how much there is in the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. And it's not just for holy people. It's not just for prophets or priests or righteous people. The Lord is able to give you, Amaziah, a sinner, a wretched sinner, a vile sinner. He is able to give you much more. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we're able to ask or think. So much more. Oh, this man of God, I hope I meet this man of God on the other side, because this man had looked into the gracious heart of God, which is so full of mercy for sinners. And the love of Christ constrained him to preach to sinners, to wrestle with their souls, to strive with them, and to say, Amaziah, don't perish. With such a wide-hearted God as my God, who can give you so much more. Oh, dear friends, I love this third point of this preacher, so much more. So often, people of God, we have a stingy God, don't we? We think the Lord's heart is stingy like our own. We imagine that He doesn't give generously. We imagine that He upbraids, that He chides with us, and we come to Him again, and we say, Lord, I'm again, and surely thou canst not give me what I need now, because I've been at thy door so often, and the Lord says, my storehouse is full of mercy. I'm ready to forgive. Have you ever thought of that? The Lord says He's ready to forgive All who come to Him pleading with forgiveness. That means that the Lord doesn't have to somehow get ready or become ready or work up some readiness in Himself. The heart of God is ready to forgive all those who cry to Him for forgiveness. Oh, point one, the Lord. Point two, the Lord's gracious ability. The Lord's expansive grace. And then there is this implicit call to believe and to obey the Lord. It's not explicit here, but it's implied, isn't it? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. O Amaziah, sinner that you are, if you but fall in with God, if you submit to God, if you give God your heart, if you believe the record that He gives of Himself, you don't quarrel and you don't quibble, but you submit to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, the Lord will give you. It's not entered into the heart of man to conceive what all God has prepared for those who fall in with God. My unconverted friend here today, your problem isn't the Lord. His heart is full of mercy for sinners. Your problem isn't even your sin. It is a problem, but it's not the problem. Because the Lord is ready to pardon all those who come unto God by Him. Your problem, your deepest problem, those of you who have not submitted to the righteousness of Christ, is you're still strong in yourself. You're holding yourself up. And you will not come to me, Christ says. You will not come to me that you might have life. And if once you see that that's your problem, with such a good doing, merciful, gracious God who in Jesus Christ is beckoning, is inviting, is calling, is entreating sinners to fall in with God to the point that He says, go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that My house may be full. Oh, my friends, this love of Christ would melt your heart. That you would lose the battle against love. Love divine, all loves excelling. And that this expulsive power of a new affection, as someone once called it, that this would so conquer your heart that it would drive out every other false love. All the love to money, all the love to friends, all the love to music, all the love to the pleasures of sin for a season. That the love of Christ would constrain you. My friend, God is able. Do you see that? God is able. The mighty God, who in His grace is almighty. Oh, dear friends, fall on Him. Fall on Him. And His outstretched arms in the Lord Jesus Christ. Others like yourself. Others harder than yourself. Others more sinful than yourself have done so. And they have found that He is ready to forgive. He's full of love for sinners. And His ability reaches so far. He is able to give much more than this. Well, dear friends, this is the message of the Lord to each and every one of us tonight. One day these words will come back to us. We'll have to give account for the words we've spoken and the words we've heard. My friend, what will you do with these words? Will these words rise up in judgment and condemn you at the end? when you together with Amaziah will go, depart from me, for you would not the knowledge of my ways. Oh, my friend, must you perish with such a God who can give so much more in Jesus Christ? Dear friends, as we close, I have three lessons. First of all, beware of idols. Little children, John says, the last words he ever spoke, keep yourself from idols. Oh, don't nurture any love for idols. They'll damn you if unrepented. Idols, my friend, they never pay. They never pay. They only demand. All those who worship them become like them. And don't settle for outward allegiance to God. That is not giving up on idols. Amaziah came to the point in his life when confronted by this man of God who strove with his soul, Amaziah silenced him and said to him, forbear. Verse 16. Art thou made of the king's counsel? In other words, are you here to tell me what to do? Forbear. Leave off speaking to me. Why shouldest thou be smitten? He threatens him. Then the prophet forbore and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Oh, my friend, what a woeful day when you tell God to be quiet and he becomes quiet. My friend, while you hear his voice today, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Bow, submit, cry, look, confess, fall on God. If you perish, you perish, but you won't. The feet the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of idols. Secondly, hearing God's voice will bring loss, but it's good loss. Hearing God's voice, heeding God's voice will bring loss, but it's good loss. Congregation, it's a false Christianity that says that you can have God and your sins as well, or you can have God and avoid suffering. No. The Lord Jesus Christ said to every one of his disciples, he said, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. There is a cost to discipleship. But dear friends, it's a blessed cost, because in the end, it costs you your sin. It costs you your hard-heartedness. It costs you all those things you'd just as soon, when you follow Christ, be rid of. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you that there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, or 100 talents. For my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, yes, and in the world to come, everlasting life. Paul says, I counted all things but loss for the excellency of Jesus Christ. But Paul, you lost so much. Oh, It was no sacrifice. Spurgeon says this. He says, to lose something for God is not loss, but gain. And he says somewhere else, we ought to throw in eternity in the scale of all decision making. We ought to throw in eternity into the scale of all decision making. In other words, whenever you are called to make a decision, take stock of eternity. Will this help you towards eternity, towards a good eternity? The Lord demands sacrifice, but it is always ultimately good, for He knows best. And lastly, congregation, I take the words of this preacher in our passage, and I just want to impress them one last time upon your and my heart as I am able. God is able to give you much more. Why? Because God is more. Why? Because God has more. Why? Because God always gives more. Oh, dear friends, when I look at my life, oh, I failed the Lord many, many times. But has the Lord failed me? Never. Never, ever, ever. He's always given more. You see, even this, Christ, oh, my friends, when you have Christ, you have more than all the world. You have more than anything you've ever had. Because when you have Christ, you're rid of your own righteousness and your own unrighteousness, and you have Christ's righteousness, which is more, it's eternally more. When you have Christ, you have His brothers, and His sisters in the Lord, and that's your true family. Though your father and your mother, your friends may forsake you, the Lord will take you up. And He'll give you a new family, brothers and sisters. There's a closer bond with a true brother and a true sister in the Lord than any natural family. And what can we say yet about the comforts of the Holy Spirit that the Lord throws in with Christ, reverently speaking? The comfort of the Holy Spirit, called that other comforter, who abides with you forever, who proceeds from the Father and from the Son. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but He will take it out of Me and He will show it unto you. Dear believer, you have communion with God. Yes, it's halting. Yes, it's frail from your side, but it's Thy loving kindness is better than life. It is so much more. The Lord strengthens you with might in the inner man. He gives you hope for eternal life, an eternal inheritance undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The Lord is able to give you so much more. He gives you assurance. He gives you joy sometimes. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gives you a peace which passes all understanding. No, not that you always feel it, but it's there. And it is there in the Lord's storehouse that is so full. He's able to give you so much more. And when the Lord takes away, when He gives and takes away, He always fills the empty place with Himself, sooner or later. The Lord is not a stingy giver. He makes up for all the sacrifices He calls you to make, either here in this life and for certain in the life to come. And so, dear friends, as we close tonight, Amaziah and the man of God, their voices came to us tonight. Amaziah's idolatrous voice, bent on ruin, heading towards death. The man of God's voice, of God who can give so much more, a road that heads to life evermore. I don't know about you, congregation, but Really, when I think of my own heart, I hear a lot of Amaziah in here. What shall we do with 100 talents? What shall we do with all this stuff? What shall we do with all these losses? And you've got all that pull in your heart. But thanks be to God, I know that other voice. And it's the voice of God in His scriptures. And it's there in my heart as well. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And thanks be to God, when that voice drowns out Amaziah's voice, oh, then I rest in God. Then I'm happy in God. Then I joy in God as ne'er before. Oh, dear friends, the Lord is able. Doubt no more. Amen. Lord of heaven, give, needy sinners that we are, give us something of this much more that lies in Christ. Until the day dawn and all the shadows flee away, O Lord, be everything. Be everything to sinners here tonight. May they lose their love of stuff and of the world and of sin. Break through it, Lord. Do not let us go on the way of Amaziah to wake up in eternity lost forever. Oh, Lord, show thy ability. Work mightily, Lord, we pray. Work in thy grace. And fulfill that promise. He shall give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from all thy children. We ask this in the pardon of every sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we sing in conclusion number 81, How Great the Goodness Kept in Store? Let's sing 1 and 2 at this time. And our doxology is 3 and 4. Let's do it that way. 1 and 2 at this time, and our doxology, 3 and 4.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.